you, what would you like? Any questions? Or suppose you go to a foreign land. When you leave your country, you want to leave the country and go to some foreign land. What you do? Generally, you open the directories to see what are the means to reach there, how we go, where to stay, where not to stay. Suppose you go to a place where you do not know their language, what will you do? How much money would be required? You see, what things are required to be taken along with us? All these things you consider. You turn up your directives. This information is given in the directives, of course, but they don't speak. You may, by going through and through, you might one thing here, the other on the 10th page, the other on the 50th page. So while searching for the in the directories, somebody comes up to you and says, well, look here, you want to go to that place? Yes. Here's the man who will come from that place. What will he do? He will close the directories and run up to it. Why? It is but natural. Scriptures tell us who know God sits at his feet. Read it through, you'll find that's the same thing. And many things are not real. The books are not written in a graduated way, I tell you. Some references here, some there, some like that, some are given in the form of parables, some direct. But you don't find at one place the whole thing explained. The way you are now explained is not put in there like that. So naturally, you have to run up to that man. When you go up to him, you say, oh yes, I have been that place. You want to go there? Okay, yes. He puts question, oh yes, such and such place you can go. You can stop there on the way, you will have food like that. This is so many things. He is now convinced that that man has seen it. But he is not going back. And then and next week he hears that very man is going back to that very place from which he has come and to which he wants to go. He goes, will you take me along with you? Yes, most likely. How confident he feels, naturally. He has nothing to worry, where to go, where I will stop, what will be. Because that man knows he has been that place. Similarly, I read almost in this question, I read scriptures, you see. First of all, in the family in which I was born, that is a very big treasure house, I would say, the six scriptures that comprise a page about 1400 pages, big size, you see. And the beauty is that you have got findings of so many God-men together. The oldest scripture of the world is called Vedas. Vedas include sayings, findings of many rishis, not one. And later on, whoever came, you find their scriptures give only that much what that particular one said. Although they are parallel, I am just telling you the beauty, you see. So the latest scripture is of the six, the 400 years back. That contains as many masters' findings as could be possible at the time. So it was Guru Arjan who collected all these things. Are the four masters behind. He was the fifth one, you see, in the reign of Guru Nanak. And Guru Nanak was a contemporary of Kavi for 48 years. recollect it all as it is own. About half he collected and half he added of his own, you know. He's a very good God-inspired person. He said, I and my father are one. Pita Pute, father and son had been dyed in the same color, you see. They have formed an alliance. That's like saying he's God. Then he left some pages and closed the book with the, I mean, concluding the time. He said, yeah, here's this something. It is a divinity, I mean, this is a reservoir of divinity. The more you go into it, you find priceless jewels, you see. And left 10 pages, or some pages, blank. People ask me, why are you doing that? He says, here the 9th guru will follow me, his things are to be recorded. And the one couplet is of the 10th guru too, there. One couplet. So that was the latest scriptures. The oldest scripture of the world and the latest contains things of so many masters together. That's a banquet hall of spirituality. So then, naturally, I was led to other scriptures. I was reading in a missionary school. So I was in touch with the missionary teaching. But what they said, I did not follow. Though the things appeared to be very clear to me. Perhaps those who were teaching, they were not so clear to them. They said, you be born in Christ. You must be born in Christ. And I said, how can a man be born in a man? Come and see. The God is light. And they said, well, intellectual God, give us intellect to understand you. These are these. Then I read other scriptures. One other Mohammedan scriptures, Hindu scriptures. To the best I could lay hands on. All said the same thing. There's a God, you want to see God. Sit at the feet of somebody who has seen God. Not only has seen God, but is competent to make us see God. That you find in Christ. See? Son knows the Father and others whom he shall reveal. Sonship continues. So, all Mormon literature, scripture, tell the same thing. You must find some means to reach God. And all of us. Hindu scriptures are full of them. There you will find that thing. Not even I looked all around, you see. There are so many masters to whom to go. We have three brothers. So two brothers, you see, we just helped each other. If you find any God man, you tell me. If I find it, I will tell you. Then we are such. Once somebody, so many men were meeting like that. Once it so happened, he wrote to me, there is a very great man, very great master has come, will you come? I went over there. I told him, I have got intoxication. That continued day and night. But sometimes after 3, 4, 5 months, that breaks. For a day or two, and I'm very much puzzled. Can you help me in that? What did he say? Well, you will have to lay down everything, your body, mind and soul to me. Only then I can, I will do. I thought, the man who is out of my body head position and my intellect, everything, to be blindfolded. I paid him homage and return. Well, you see, surrender comes only where you see some competence. Devotion, you see, love, one who loves, that is something else. When you surrender, you have a control of the one to whom you surrender. He has to take care of you. So many came in for ashram. I used to see one who was very, intoxicated, God intoxicated. But he lived in a way that nobody dared to come to him. We used to meet all our friends in the evening, outside. We were talking, is there any Godman we can find, you see? Then I told him, well, I have seen one man, he got intoxicated, but it is his hard nut to crack. Some you find God intoxicated, they won't let you go near him, you see. You have the privilege to talk, question, cross-question, criticize. He would not suffer. Then I told him, hey, that man about whom our master also used to know, he also meet him. His name was Baba Khan. He was lived in a naked state, he was known, you see. Here the fire is burning, here the mid felt, you see. When he was there, heat, he was just fanning the other. I told him, he's got some intoxication, you see. Anybody that would go to him, he will call names. If they don't do it, then he will beat them. But there was something, he would call names, people still would remain there. Sometimes they have a beating too. But with whatever, purpose they went, that purpose was served. You see, they had it. So I started reading in those days. In the school, I also used to go there. He was just in a half naked way, he was sitting in this platform here. I used to stand over there, watching people. He's calling names, going away, they say. I kept on unless everybody clear. Then he would call me, well, Osanak, what you want? So I went to him. All right, I came to only to see you. All right. Go. That's how I had that connection with him. So I told that man, well, he has got something, but it is very hard not to crack mind that. Nobody suffers, you see. This is a very valuable thing. Who is going to give you? Well, all I want to do, I told him, well, go and sit at night with him. Even if he says anything, cause it, don't mind. You see? He went that night, he stayed there. After 11 o'clock at 12, he called names. He also beat him with the fist. He ran away. Next day we met together again, our party. I said, how did you find? Oh, he called me nation for fisted with you. He beat him with the fist. No, no, don't mind, he's got something. Then what to do? I don't mind, go. Next night again he went there. Then next day when he went there, instead of beating only, he took that burning wood, you see, stuck it. Then he came. No, so next day he did not struck him with you, but next day he just put it underneath. Well, he chiropractors working. Again he went back on the third day. I asked him, what happened? Oh yes, but don't mind, he has got something. He's guarding that wealth. He would not let you have it. Don't mind, we'll let him kill you, don't mind. Third night RC went there. What he did, as I told you, with the burning wood, and then made a little wound there. He did not leave him. At the midnight after 1 o'clock. What you want after a while, you mean, coming to me? He said, well, give me something. Then he made him to hear the song correctly. Some people have got it, you see. They keep it very close-fisted, they don't do it. Well, so this went on like that. I used to pray, what? Oh God, I am convinced, without one who knows you, nobody can reach you. It is a practical matter of self-analysis. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, by the vital layers of intellect. It is a matter of seeing. Who sees, he can make you see. Well, I know there's a need. Definitely, all scriptures say, I'm quite convinced, but where to go? Suppose I go to somebody, he has not met you, what will be my fate? I used to pray like that. If you could reveal yourself to the old saints, sometimes there are stories like that, why can't you do in my case? I am convinced. I have great regard for such things. But there are so many masters there, whom to select? With this, well, my master began to appear to me. When he sat in meditation, I was doing something. So I thought perhaps it was Guru Nanak. He used to talk to me, he would, that in those days there was a great war, first great war. My brother was just in the front, in that field area, from India to Persia side. I used to go, traverse along with him, went to those places, heard them. So I was very fond of rivers, ponds, water. So even while in my young life, I used to go sit by waterside or some river the whole night together. There's a calm and quiet place, when running water, little concentration helps. So this went on for that. In the meantime, first I was at Peshawar, then it also to one Noshara station is there. That is the river they are running. I used to sit by that riverside for hours. Then I came to Jhelum side, that is also by the riverside. For hours together, I was very fond of swimming too, you see. Just in the wine mother, just enter the river. If you are not afraid of it, it is only fear that kills you. Simply little feet, what you might shake or hands little, you move, you don't drown. You are not drowned. And in the meantime, I was also to Lahore. That was also riverside. I passed my day. Once I heard that there is also river Bias, let me have a look at that, you see. One Sunday morning, I left by train, detained at Bias station. There was an old man, he was a station master of the station. I asked him which side the river flows. He was a devotee of the master. Do you want to see the master? Does the master live there? I said, yes. Oh, yes. On the riverside. So I will have two things now. I will also enjoy the river scenery and also see the master. Saint also. Then he directed me there. So master was sitting upstairs, you are taking meals inside. I went outside. After half an hour or so he came out. I understand, he's the same man who was appearing to me 7 years before. From 1917 to 1924. I wonder, well, I paid homage to him. Why so late? I said, he said that was the most opportune time that you took. So I met you, Master, you see. So God, Guru appears on the tail of the most skeptic mind. Perhaps None of you have been so skeptical as I was. I was afraid. Lest I go to somebody who has not met God, my life may inspire you. Well, very eventually then, once or twice, every Sunday you to go. You were looking after me like a father looks after his son coming in. He would just all right arrange this room, bring this bedding, this and that. Very good, master. You don't worry. I'm here at your feet. All right, now you have to look after this dera. Go on with it. Those who come, you look after them. This is the word he says, the very first dera. So next time when the initiation, this is very February time, this year, month. All were sitting in initiation. Master, you sit inside. I was coming. He gave initiation there. I was inside, sitting in his room. How I was initiated. I was waiting for him, perhaps you call me or what. I could not be there because he did not call me there. I was sitting inside. Then he turned. Asked me, will you kindly initiate? Oh, yes, surely. Well, what it was, that mystery of life, what is a man, what is a soul, that is a solve, a little, no time. So qualification of a master is given like that, who can give you some experience. To say, all right, go, you see, here, maps, to show, go by this order, turn right, then left, this and that, sometimes you have to hunt for hours if we do not find the way. The master who can give you some experience to start with, who can appear, who can remove the dark way by giving a sitting, and you testify it yourself. So. You are not to wait till after death or after years. It doesn't tell you how to go on, you will have it in due course. And most of the people you find that. Or if you don't have regular meditation, some years from the past might help you. But the competency of the master lies in the fact that he is able, competent to give experience to the learned or the unlearned, that quite a man from the street. Yes? It so happened there was some controversy, see, when he, our master, became the master, took up the role of the master, I mean. He was a master, but he took up the role of the master. The other people were simply said, how can you become a master? He was very polite, very humble, you see. Never controversy, would like to go into controversy. After when they get so far into it, because all right, do it, get some 5-6 people from the street, make them sit, you give them. I also catch fine, see who can carry them. That's our ultimate goal, what to do. So how I met the master, you see. So I generally people ask me, what is your date of birth? I tell them I got 3 birth dates, you see. First I was born in the flesh. Second when I met him inside, 7 years before. And third when I met him physically. So these are the gifts of God, you see. So I was very afraid of, you see. Generally you'll find master, they'll simply tell you, all right, go on reading scriptures. And that's right, that's possible. You cannot have the right import of the scriptures unless you meet somebody who has that experience. He alone can be able to give you an experience, give you right understanding, right import of the scripture. Because what are scriptures? They have to find record of the experiences of the masters they had in their life. Then perform one ritual or this, that's all right for preparation of the ground. But seeing something else that only arises when you analyze yourself, you rise above body consciousness, and you testify this light. And I'll see the kind who can make that music of the spheres audible. He's a master. Who can give you lighted music of the spheres? What are these two? These are the two aspects of the God into expression power. God has no equal, no father, no mother, nothing of the sort. So who is world personified, only he can be given the experience of that, the very first day. In the blind man, the world that inner eye, what is called the single eye, in scriptures tell us, that if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you'll see the light of heaven. That is called the third eye, or the single eye, or the latent eye, so many names. So these are the basic teachings, ultimate, I mean, that give you contact with that reality. Philosophies deal with theories. This is what is called mysticism. It gives you contact with reality. That reality into expression. Psychology works at the level of intellect. They do not work at the level of intellect, but we have an intellect still. You are intellectually still, only then. And that you have two, a subject and object. And in this no duality, you get direct contact with God into expression power. The more you are unattached from outside, the more your ethical way of living, you see, the more you come in contact with that, and where that is, you see, it is like selective lift, you see, they take you to the place from where they emanated. God, when it came into expression, from the worldless state, that had light and sound. And the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And whosoever that human pole, that power, that is called the God power, or the Master power, or the Guru power, that it is referred to as the Christ power, you see. Christ lived before Jesus, mind that. And he is forever. This is what John says, Saint John. But we read only scriptures like, but you say ruminate over them, we don't follow what they want. Once man starts with a wrong thing, the other follow him like blindly, like that. How many there who can give you first an experience? Some may already go on waiting, some may get, others may not get. That's a competency, the God in him, not the Son of Man, you see. Our Master, somebody asked our Master, how should we address you? He says, take me as your brother, as your father, as your friend, as your teacher. That's act up to what I say, you know. When you rise above, you find him inside too, and there he is also competent to guide. Then you may call him by any name you like. So, all masters say, take to the feet of such a person, you see, human body, that God power at whose pole it works, who can guide you while in body and also when you transcend this physical body and also astral body and causal body. The first condition, I will say, of a master, when he meets another master, you see, he will embrace, he will rejoice. There is no question high and low. I had one instance in my life, my master, Baba Samsi, he met one follower of Raja Salama, I tell you, Shivet Lam. He's a very advanced form, you see. In the first meeting when they met, I was there along with them. he was bowing down to my master and my master was bowing down to him. We are embracing. But those who are away, why should they not embrace? Why should they not feel joy?
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the first 30 minutes of Master's personal story called How I Met My Master. It was given on January 24, 1964 in Washington, D.C. Our reader this evening is David Halliburton. Hi, David.
Hi, Christine. I'm going to read today from Morning Talks, beginning with Chapter 7. Morning Talks were a series of spiritual discourses given by Master Kirpal at Sawan Ashram in Delhi, India, on the mornings of certain days in 1967 and 1968. Chapter 7, What is True Love? Part 1. Love is not love that is the result of our outward enjoyments, the physical enjoyments. Everybody repeats that he loves God, that he loves somebody. But how many really know what love is? Love is the attraction of the heart to something. It is a question of heart, not of head. When the heart wishes something, there will be radiation, and that will react to where the thoughts are directed. So as I told you, it is a subject of the heart and not of head. Whoever has got love knows service and sacrifice. There is no question of high or low, the king or the subject. Even kings are made to sit on the floor as a result of love. Love knows giving away everything, including your body and soul. It is a matter of surrender to somebody's will, to whom you are attached at heart. Love is innate in our souls. God is love, and our souls are the drops of the ocean of all love, which is also love personified. But love knows attachment. The love of the soul, which should be attached to the oversoul, or God, has been attached to the physical things and outward enjoyments. That very love has been turned into attachment. You go where? Where you are attached. That thing within your mind is where you are attached, the love of which you have got in your heart. If you have got love for worldly things, naturally, you will come again and again to the world. If you have got love for God or the God in man, then where will you go? Where he will go. If he is not going round and round on the wheel of transmigration, how will you go? He comes from the Father and goes back to the Father. He comes with a commission to take souls back to God. So, love is love if it is directed to God. Otherwise, it is attachment. We have just to think deeply in our heart what we want, with whom we have got real love. Real love is not a business, mind that. It knows surrender and dedication of everything to him. How is real love developed? If you love somebody, you will naturally have sweet remembrance of him always in your heart. If you want to develop love, then just have sweet remembrance of God all the day and night. The most effective way is to sit by one who is overflowing with the love and intoxication of God. His soul is intoxicated with the love of God. In whatever company you sit, you will have the same radiation. If you sit by a wrestler, you will develop a real love for strength. If you sit by a learned man, your love will grow for literary things. If you sit by somebody who is overflowing with the love of God, naturally, you will have that same love by radiation. The Quran of the Mohammedans says, "For every lover, there should be some beloved." We are souls, conscious entities. Our beloved should be the Oversoul, who is all consciousness, who is God. We have made the world our beloved, and naturally we come again and again. So, our love should be for God. It should be developed, but it can only be developed if you sit in the sweet company of the God in man, who is overflowing with Godhood. Then, naturally, you will have love by radiation. Your soul will be injected with love. Love knows service and sacrifice, no will of its own. I was just telling the story of a king who had four wives. He was going to some foreign land and asked his wives what present they would like, what he should bring for them. Every wife had something of her own liking, but the youngest was the greatest lover of the king. She wrote to him, "Well, I want you only and nothing else. You come back." So naturally, when the king returned, he sent the presents to his other wives, and he went to the youngest wife. This is only to show that what you really want, that you will be given. There's a saying of the Masters that God has promised to give everything that a man wants, what his soul really desires. We simply say superficially that, "Oh God, we want you," but at the bottom, we want worldly things. If you have got real love for God in your heart, God will come to you. He will manifest to you. But generally, we want only worldly things, here and hereafter. Those who care for the love of God don't hanker after the worldly things, nor the wealth of the other worlds. They don't even want emancipation. They would like to have only one thing. No heaven, no earthly things, not emancipation, only to be with God, that's all. If we have really got that hankering in our heart, then, naturally, we must meet God. God will come to us. If we take one step that way, He will proceed 100 steps to receive us. We have to decide what we want at our heart of hearts. Are we here only for the worldly things? Are we here only for the name and fame of the world? Are we here only to have things of the other world or heaven? Are we really after emancipation from birth and death? A real lover wants none of these things. He wants God, and God alone. This is the highest ideal that we can achieve in the man body and in no other. So you have to decide by an honest searching of your heart what you want. If you want God, then God will meet you, sure and certain. If you want something else, you will have it, that's all. You will get nothing short of whatever you want. But why, when you go to a king, do you want ordinary pebbles and stones? So we should judge how we stand day by day. The result of reading scriptures, doing penances, performing this or that ritual, or doing one pilgrimage or another, all depends on the amount of love that you have got in your heart of hearts. If you have developed love for God, well and good. If not, then you must be going round in transmigration. It is a matter of only directing your attention this way or that way. Bhule Shah was a saint of India. When he came to his master, who was working in a garden at that time, putting some plants here, some there, Bhule Shah asked him how God could be met. "Oh, it is very easy," replied Bhule Shah's master. "It is just like taking one plant from here and putting it over there." So, you are to divert your attention from the world to God. That's all. God is already within you. He is not living in the heavens. He is the very power that is controlling you in the body. So this is what is wanted. Just see where you stand. If you want God, or the God in man, you will have Him. These are things we have to check daily, where we stand. We have been doing one sort of practice or the other, or joining different schools of thought for years and years. What is the fruit? What is the net result? Have you developed love for God? If so, you have made a true profit from your man body. If not, then you have made the preparation to come back again and again. So love needs no performance, rituals, or outer labels. It does not even want your body. It is a matter between you and God. The man body is given to you as a golden opportunity in which you can direct your soul to God. You will go where you are attached. Very simple. No philosophy required. If you are really attached at heart to God, or the God in man, naturally you won't return. You will go where He goes. Masters do not want any man to change his outward forms or rituals. Remain where you are. You are souls, conscious entities. You have been endowed with this golden opportunity of man-body. Just direct your soul towards the very power that is controlling you in the body. The body is the true temple of God, in which you, as well as God, reside. Outward forms or rituals or labels of one school of thought or another make no difference. The Master looks at you from the level of the soul, not from the label that you are wearing on your body. He looks to you as man, as soul. The same controlling power is active in your heart. Have you understood what is love? It is a subject of heart, not of head. A very learned man may be devoid of heart. Love overrules head, but sometimes head stands in the way of love, of the heart. These are the things that we have to judge day to day. How far we have developed love, and in which way, this side or that side, to the world or to the Word. WORLD spells world. If you take out L from the word world, then it becomes Word. When you lose the ego of I-hood by becoming a conscious co-worker of the divine plan, you are Word. God is Word. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Spirituality is not difficult. It is, I think, a most natural, most easy way. in the worldly things, you have to make a hypothesis and put in years and years of study. Even then, you cannot boast that you know everything of the worldly things. But by doing the other way, you come to the root of all creation. It is only to direct your attention from this side to that side. This is the way to God. Now you can judge what you want. You will have everything that you want in due course. But why not want God, that you may be His and He may be yours? Nobody else to intervene, neither body, mind, or anything in the outside world. So masters always give this advice or wise counsel to the people at large, irrespective of whether they belong to one school of thought or the other. To the masters, there's no difference whether you reside in a church, a temple, a gurdwara, or a mosque. These places are meant for worshiping God, to develop love for God. Merely attending these places is not sufficient. You must see what you have developed as a result. All these performances boil down to what? Just that a man is taken away. In conscription, I would say, a man is taken by force. He has to labor all day long, and in the evening, he gets no wages. At the time of birth, you are helpless, and neither do you get anything when you leave. So, what is the use? The fruit of all outward performances, reading of scriptures, doing practices, penances, is to see how far you have developed love for God. The best way to develop this is to meet somebody who is overflowing with the love of God, with the intoxication of God. This intoxication can be had where? Eyes are the windows of the soul, and the soul peeps out of them. In whatever way a soul is imbued, you have the same radiation through the eyes. When we went to bow down to him, our master said, "What is down there? Look at me." So the eyes are the most effective way of having that radiation. You will forget everything, your body, the world, everything. Judge every day how far you have developed love for God. This is the highest thing you can develop in the man body, and in no other body. These things are not only for reading. You have simply to see what love you have developed in your body. One saint said, "If you have not developed love for God, you have simply laden yourself with books, with scriptures, laden over like an ass. You have filled libraries in your brain, not a drop of it in your soul." Once a student who was carrying a book under his arm went to see Ramakrishna Paramhans and was asked by him, "What is that book that you are carrying?" The student replied that it showed how to make water. Ramakrishna Paramhans laughed and said, "All right, squeeze some of the pages of the book and see how many drops of water ooze out." You follow what he meant? So simply reading books is a first step. It is not all. How many drops of water could be squeezed from the pages of the book? You speak of God, speak of God in man, speak of love of God. But how many drops of love have you got? This is to be considered. We don't care for these things. We simply stick to the outer things. We lay down our life for them, and that is deterioration, I would say. Make the best use of them. Know that you are to develop God consciousness and to be aware of how much love that you have developed for God. So I would say, step by step, this is the highest thing to be attained. When you are attached to the church, ritual, penances, this and that thing, sometimes God is forgotten, and they take the foremost place. We have laid down everything for these outward things and have forgotten God. This is deterioration. Further deterioration comes when you forget God, even the church, everything. For selfish ends, you become the protectors and the contractors of the cults of the schools of thought, which you have professed. And so, there is dissension and strife. You follow now what they lead to? So just see how far you have developed. With all that you have read, with all you're carrying in your arms, in your brain, what is the result? Do you remember God? Or when you hear the name of God, does your heart become full and tears flow down your cheeks? Then it's all right. There is something on the way. There is hope. As when you see clouds, there is hope of rain, or when there are blossoms on a tree, there is hope for fruit. Otherwise, excuse me, all is fruitless. After all, for good things, you will have reactions of good, but that will not bear the true fruit to reach God. I have no rituals, no forms, nothing of the sort here. No temple, no church, no mosque. Why? Because what I am telling you is the highest thing. Remain where you are. You are not to leave your religions, but to make the best use of them, and see how far you have proceeded, advanced, progressed on the way. So that is one of the reasons why I have got no church, temple, or anything. I take them as the elementary steps. People are stuck fast to them. They don't bear the fruits of performing the rituals or methods of outward performances. Here, we have got no forms. We do not care what label you are wearing or what school of thought you have belonged to. We never care for it. We want just to enjoy that you are a man, you are a soul. The same God is within you. You must rise in that God consciousness. This is the main purpose of Ruhani Satsang, what we are after here. This is what the world needs today. Do not judge on outward appearances. If there is a mound of filth over which a silken cloth is spread, do you mean to say that there will be no odor from it? So we can deceive the world, but not the God within us. Take to your heart what is being said. See how far you have changed, or if you are the same man with the same low nature. Outwardly, you are very good. Your dress is very neat. Outwardly, you are making obeisance and paying homage. But the heart is not changed. What did Christ say? He said, "Change your hearts, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Change your hearts. This is what all masters say. We don't listen to their words. we simply go on with the outward things, or do not seek further than the worldly things that we require. How many are there here who have come only for God's sake? If they have come for God's sake, they will have Him, sure and certain. If they have come for some other thing, then they will have only that thing, not God. Chapter 8. What is True Love? Part 2. Love is innate in our souls. God is love, and our souls are of the same essence as that of God. Love knows attachment to somebody. We are conscious beings. Our souls are conscious entities. Our soul should be attached to the Oversoul, which is all conscious. Instead, it has been attached to the world. This is the reason why we have been coming back again and again. It should have been attached to God, or the God in man. If our soul is attached to Him, the result will be, wherever He will go, we will go. He is not to return to the earthly sojourn, then why should we return? So, what is love? Love is the attribute of the soul. It is already ingrained, innate in our soul. It requires attachment always, and is life-giving for a man. Just like water gives life to a fish. If a fish is taken out of the water, it will simply die. There is also one sort of plant that grows in water. The more water it gets, the more it grows. Similarly, those souls which are endowed with the love of God, naturally, they enjoy it, just like life-giving water. It is the water of life for the soul. A man who is really detached from the world is not affected by it. Renunciation truly lies in the fact that we are not tied to the world, to anything outside. A man who has got love within him, love of God, is attached to God so much so that all other things leave his mind. He is not attracted by anything else. For instance, if such a man is sitting here, there may be hundreds of others sitting around him, but he will be wholly and solely absorbed in the Master. This is a feat of love. Love also knows sacrifice. The Masters say that those who would like to play the game of love should come with their heads cut off and placed in their palms as an offering. Even then, they would not mention what they have done. God knows the very trend of our mind, what lies in our mind. This is one fact that I show. What does one who loves want? He always wants to see the Master. He loves everything of the Master's. I was just talking about one man who attended a Pacific conference here some years ago. He was a minister of Korea, and he came here to the ashram and was initiated. He was so much intoxicated that he would embrace all the walls and the trees of the ashram. He would say, "These are very beautiful, very loving." Why? For the sake of the Master, of course. Love beautifies everything. It is but natural. Another time, one man telephoned me from America. "All right, what do you want?" I asked him. "I simply want to hear your voice, nothing else. Just talk about something," he replied. I said, "What do you want? Tell me." "No, no, I just want to hear your voice." For about 1 hour, he continued like that. He just wanted to hear my voice. You know how much that hour's telephone call must have cost him? I think no less than an ordinary telephone call costs about 30 or 40 rupees at least, only for a few words. That means at least $200, or even more than that. So that is but natural. If he has got love, everything will appeal to him. There is a story in India about one Majnu who was very fond of Layla. One day, he came across a dog and began to kiss its feet and hug it. People asked him, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I have seen this dog going into the lane of my beloved Layla," he replied. This is love. It is but natural. Well, I'll stop there. My time is up. I've been reading from the book Morning Talks, Chapter 7 and part of Chapter 8. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, David, for reading Master's beautiful words to us. There were 54 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to receive your guidance and blessings of love.
So we have to decide what we want at heart of ours. Are we here only for the worldly things? Are we here only for the name and fame of the world? Are we here only to have things of the other world or heaven? Are we really after only emancipation from birth and death? A real lover wants none of them, you see. He wants God, and God alone.